All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Four Guys.
One film.
Today, we are discussing a film that we watched last week by the name of Red Rocket, directed by, what's his name?
Sean Baker.
Who is now, I think he's tied with Walt Disney with winning or being nominated for the most Oscars.
Really?
Academy Awards.
Really?
I think because you won four Oscars for Nora in one night.
Yeah.
So I think he's tied with winning the most Oscars in one night. I think that's what it was.
Wait, what are some of his other films?
Anora.
No,
which he won.
So yeah, that one.
Red Rocket.
Yeah.
He did one called Tangerine, which was good. He did one called The Florida Project.
Oh yeah, I've seen Takeout,
which was really good.
Are these all A24 films? Were they all produced by A24?
No. I mean,
Florida Project
some,
is, and so is Anora. I think.
No, I think these are Neon Productions.
Really?
This is not A24.
No, Red Rocket was A24.
I thought it was a
Florida
production.
Project definitely was as well. I don't know about Nora.
Yeah.
But what makes this director special is that what he likes to do is essentially make films about real people.
Yeah.
Which sounds simple, but when we talk about real people, we talk about people that are actually really flawed.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, in this one, you know, Mr. Mikey Saber, ex-adult actor. He won a couple of AVN awards for the Fast and the Fury Ass, I think was one of them that he won.
Furry ass.
Sorry, yeah. Excuse me. I think he won. We don't need to get into it. But Anora, you know, a sex worker. I think Florida Project, a hotel manager. So he likes to focus on characters that are really simple, complicated, real, all at the same time. But this one was a hard watch. Because it took us a week to get back together.
Yeah.
To even discuss.
To digest it.
Because it's like, how do we talk about this, you know, in a way where, you know, we're not on our phones? You know what I'm saying? Like how do we approach this at an adult level?
And also just like not focus on all the negative aspects of this fucking movie.
Not be apologizing for things we're not doing too.
Because on the surface, you could say that this film is about a pedophile. On the surface. But I think it goes into more than that.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, you know, like issues with, I don't know, you know, I mean, yeah, issues with capitalism, you know, lower class society, obviously power dynamics between an adult and a minor, obviously.
Between men and women, too.
Yeah, between men and women. The whole thing about the adult industry is touched upon.
No, yeah, I was going to say, could you explore that a little bit more? How do you think this ties into what capitalism is? You know, leading people to fall down this path.
Right. Well, I mean, let's be honest here. We know that the adult industry is a very tough industry for both genders.
It's very hard.
But I think one gender, you know, makes the most out of it, and one is exploited for it. And there's a ton of money involved in this. And so you see a guy here who essentially is down on his luck, and he sees an opportunity for money by exploiting a minor.
Yeah.
And so for us as viewers is like, how do we watch this film and align with the main character, Mikey Saber?
Yeah, it's hard to align with him in any way because he just like, it just sounds like he was just a fucking scumbag from like every possible aspect. Yeah. So it's just like, why are we? Like,
but the director makes it funny though.
Yeah, I mean, let's explore the other side of it. I know Nick said he was relatable. So how was he relatable, Nick?
Yeah, well, I have a really good friend named George Barica who I felt
like. You fucking bitch.
Hey, you asked for it.
No, yeah, he's a really hard guy to like. Cause
yeah, like seeing
even
George
though he made him a little bit charismatic, obviously he's very sociable. He's very good at talking. He's like, you know, he's a master manipulator.
Yeah.
And really what he's doing is we're watching him manipulate this minor and groom her and take advantage of her situation, like her being so like.
But the thing
young
is, it's not just the minor. He's manipulating everybody.
There's not
goes
a single
like,
person.
Yeah, I mean, that's the spotlight, right? Yeah. Two. But obviously, his relationship with everyone around him, he's a fucking parasite. Like, he uses and abuses everyone to his advantage.
Like, I don't think there's anybody that he's spoken to in the film that didn't get fucked over by
but
him.
Look, 100%. But you also got to look at the type of people that he was speaking to. Like, he wasn't like fucking talking to like a normal person. He was talking to people that were already like kind of in like this depths of like they're just in like shit. Like his ex-wife, shit, right? Like she's an addict. Her mom was an addict. The neighbor was like a guy trying to fucking. He was a false patriot.
Yeah, he had
stolen valor.
Stolen valor.
I think that's the worst part of this movie, man.
He was
stolen valor.
Oh, not the exploitation of a minor.
Republicans would be like, "Yep, yeah. Stolen valor is the problem." Yeah.
He also
only problem with this movie.
He also had like an issue with fucking just doing dumb shit, and so it just
yeah. But you know,
it's hard to watch. It's a hard watch.
Yeah. But what's interesting, because I thought they were gonna tell us a little bit of his backstory, but we didn't get any of that.
Well, what do you mean? I think did was hear from his backstory.
No. But how did he? Because he's a guy that was at the top of his game.
Yeah, we all we saw was the rock bottom. Well, and you know, him talking and reminiscing about his glory days. Yeah. But
my theory for that is, you know, I was gonna say we there's so many movies out there that have morally gray, like complex characters that consistently try to find a way to justify why they do the things they do. Right, they give you insights into their background, their families, their relationships with other characters. Like, oh, my daughter was dying of cancer, so I got to kill, you know, like Joel from The Last of Us, get to kill fucking the last survivors for the humanity or whatever. But in this case, it's like there was never any intent from Sean Baker to ever have you think Mikey Saber's a redeemable person. Like it's like you said, it's a real human being that exists in multiple places today that are just people who take advantage and abuse minors. Mm-hmm. And you're not meant to find a redeeming quality in them. You're just meant to see them as they are today as pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And but what's interesting is that I think Sean Baker, instead of just saying outright like this guy's a piece of shit, he just gave him to us as he is.
Yeah.
So there are good sides to him and really bad sides to
him. You got to see his quirky, funny, you know,
right,
comedic acts and times, and you like laugh at certain scenes, but then other times you see exactly what he's doing to his wife, to this girl, to even like the drug dealers who are asking
his
him,
neighbor.
Like, his neighbor. Oh my gosh, the kid. But like, there's just not a single person, like you said, who he won't screw over.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to screw over the drug dealer.
Well, I mean, like what I say by screw over is they specifically had mentioned to him like, hey,
don't sell
to the oil guys because they're the ones who the cops actually care about. Like anybody else, cops won't care. They're not going to bust us. And so they had one rule for him to basically follow. And he's like, no, I can make money because nobody's selling to them. And so he doesn't care what kind of heat he brought on their operation because he's going to run away eventually. He knows it's not a long-term thing for him. He's out there to get some money and leave when he gets an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even his, it wasn't his ex-wife. I guess they were still married.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when she's kind of like actually trying to build a family with him per se, right, she's like, hey, like I'm gonna get custody of my kid back, like we're gonna be able to make this thing work, everything,
and then he gets upset
and he's just like, what the fuck are you on about? He's like, that's not what I want.
Yeah, okay, I'm not trying to defend the kid, but he had a semi-valid reason.
It wasn't his kid.
No, I get that, but he's obviously taking advantage of her situation by living at her fucking place and telling her that he's gonna do all these things and almost making it seem like that he's there for her, but it's like, no, he's there for a fucking, you know, being able to stay there, and that's
and you
it.
You could see the times he was being sweet when he was just trying to get his dick wet. Genuinely, like, that's all he was interested in.
Let me ask you guys a question. When Mikey Saber, star of the Fast and the Furious, when he got fucked over at the end of the film, how did you feel about that?
Well, it really was a shame that they couldn't play Brian O'Connor anymore.
Right.
That's why he lost
that. Once he died.
Yeah, Paul Walker's passing really ruined it for him.
You know, maybe that's what caused his downfall. He couldn't be there for the
sequence. If only Paul Walker knew how to drive better.
I think he was a passenger.
He was driving.
But he could have taken control.
He could have drifted.
I think it was
that
a
thing.
What was it? A Porsche GT? They did it.
Porsche.
Actually,
notorious
Paul Walker
for killing people. Crazy.
Paul Walker also dated a minor.
Oh yeah, that
when
was
he
a
was
thing.
Like 30, he was dating like a 16, 17. Oh,
shit. The worst example, in my opinion, of all of this is Seinfeld. Have you seen
Oh
Seinfeld?
My god, yeah, he was like 40 dating
a 17-year-old.
Yeah, and at the time it was
wait,
like
wait,
yeah.
There's a worse one. I forgot his name.
George.
No, the guy shut the fuck up, Alexa. No, the guy that he adopted someone.
Woody Allen, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That was
his
daughter.
Insane, bro.
He's not even in the country.
Yeah, bro. He's
that's
a piece
his
of shit.
Fucking daughter. That's like grooming, pedophilia, and borderline incest.
Well, you know, essentially because we say all these names, and where are these people from? Like, what's their industry?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
the film industry.
Are we really surprised with
Epstein? You know what's crazy? Like,
right.
It almost seems like pedophilia is more rampant, but honestly, I think it's just the surveillance state. Like, we're in a society now where everything is being monitored and recorded, and it's like, I think the reason they're catching so many of them now is because they can't get away with it. Yeah. But I'm sure it's been going on forever.
I think that's now we're finally a big reason why I really liked what Sean Baker did with, like, shooting on location here, because it wouldn't make sense to do a movie like this in a place like L.A. or even New York, you know, Florida, places that even Atlanta, which has, like, a movie industry. Maybe there's, you know, more films, adult films.
Because we associate the industry with those kinds of behaviors.
Yeah.
So it's kind of normalized, right? Like, people make jokes about it. But like you're saying, you see it in a small town, it's weird.
Well, not only weird. Yeah. My point with that, too, is when I think of who is going to get away with it in L.A., it's not going to be Weinstein. Someone. Yeah, no. Exactly. It'll be something like a Weinstein. It'll be someone who's high-powered exec, you know, super, like, rich, super famous, who's like, you know what I could do to you if you tell people. Essentially, it's the ditties of the world.
Like, you know, it's literally what we were talking about in The Mummy. How it happened to Brendan Fraser, and like for so long, Brendan Fraser, and he didn't want to come out and say it.
Yeah,
he didn't want to be blacklisted or doxxed.
Yeah. He got blacklisted anyway, so.
I mean, it's kind of like, as a victim, you almost suffer twice because you can't tell anybody in fear of losing your career. Yeah.
But that's the scary thing of, like I said, with this film and like these locations. I mean, if you think about, you know, No Country for Old Men, same thing. Settings that are super like in the boonies type cities.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, some of the murders happen in bigger cities, but that's when like all of a sudden you see a police force come out. You know, same here, like in this small, what was it? Texas City.
I think it is good that he depicted it the way it is because honestly, this kind of shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like 100% in the industry, but we just don't see it or like hear about it.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just thinking like nobody called him out on his behavior.
No.
Like he was like,
not even the shop owner.
The shop owner didn't say shit. The neighbor, he was kind of like, oh, that's cool. What? Like nobody said, yo, Mikey Sabre, like you're with a minor, like what's up with that?
Yeah, no, it's kind of
weird. Just went like completely unchecked.
I mean, to be fair, the cast and the people that were involved, I guess, in the film, as far as people who interacted with Mikey Sabre, were either morally compromised characters themselves,
right?
Or like, I guess some of the type of people who you might, you know, the only one that really did shock me was a store owner. You know, as someone who, she's employed this young woman for so long, you figured she'd have some level of attachment or care about her and her well-being. But maybe it speaks to kind of the things that you can get away with in a small town.
Dude,
honestly, like
I know you guys, I don't know what kind of experience you guys have with the South, but when I was living in Georgia, it was fucking weird. Like, people are doing this shit like all the time. Like, you see it firsthand and you're like, what the fuck? Like, is this normalized here?
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking weird. Also, because I think, like, I guess they lower the age of consent in some states where they're just kind of like make it seem like it's fine. But
I mean,
it's still like, this is a fucking child, dude. Like, what?
You know, I'm not justifying anything, but for me, it's one thing when I see a state that has a lower, or a country that has a lower age of consent, and it's like, okay, maybe they're just trying to not get high schoolers wrapped up in something that could ruin their lives. Okay. But it's weird when adults go utilize that as a justification for dating minors.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing is, like I don't mind if 17-year-olds date 17-year-olds. Like, who cares? And if it's now consensual because under the law they are able to do whatever they want, fine. But why are so many small towns like that? Like, it's almost like the way that I feel about it is that there's a generation of men in high school who are, you know, the better looking ones, the more athletic ones, the more, you know, wealthy, whatever you want to call it, affluent. They get the girls of that generation who are attractive, who are also like at the upper echelon of their class. And then some of them end up getting attracted to 4 or 5 years like earlier's failures, who are now just dudes who come back to high school to prey on some of the girls and see which ones of them will come.
Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you couldn't find a girl your age who would want you. Like, genuinely,
fucking
like,
suck.
And yeah, because you have a lot of fucking really weird,
no, more
bullshit
often than
things
not,
about
that's
you.
That's 100% the case. I think it's all the rejects and the fucking guys that like were losers in high school.
The Mikey
and then
Sabres.
They're just kind of like, oh, now I have a chance because I'm older and not like, you know, whether they have like, you know, more money or a nice car or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
it's
adding
crazy.
To that, in the movie, Mikey Sabre doesn't like, he's not going specifically for a minor. Like, he just came across her and just went for it. He had like no morals, was like, I'm gonna exploit this girl because she's my ticket out of here.
Yeah, he didn't even know
her
age as much as he saw a body and a face that he believed would fit in porn.
Dude, immediately when he was like, you're 17 and you're turning 18 in 3 weeks, holy shit, he's like,
I just got the fucking,
he's like, I know time, place, he's like, we're golden.
It's borderline. Yeah, you're right, it was borderline. Yeah,
you know, and I thought they were like that was a switcheroo.
He slept with her before.
That's what I'm saying. That was a switcheroo for me, is I thought that was going to be a way that like Sean Baker was gonna write this or film this in a way to justify it. It's like, yeah. hey, he didn't do it when she was 17. But no, when he like full committed, I was like, oh no, yeah, he's full piece of shit.
But if you're acknowledging someone, you're waiting until they're 18, you're still fucking pedophile.
It's 100%. It's like 100%.
You're just trying to be on the right side of the law. Of things,
exactly.
Like, no, but you're still a pedophile.
There's still something deeply wrong with you.
And what's interesting too is that, all right, so we know that the actress was like in her mid 20s at the time.
She's actually older than us.
Yeah, she's older than us. And so she was in her mid 20s portraying a 17 year old, but the director still showed us full-fledged, you know, like we you know, they're like nude scenes, like you saw what she was doing with them, and like he wasn't afraid to show that and make us uncomfortable.
Oh, because, yeah,
I mean, like we know that she, you know,
it didn't help that she had like a super baby face, like
extremely like, petite woman.
Like I remember seeing Nick, like it was hard, like you were hiding away because it was really uncomfortable. Like, it was very uncomfortable.
And you know, it's funny, like we looked it up at the end of the movie how old she was, and I genuinely look back and I don't think. Like, you know, we were talking about this with anime, right? Where, like, too many animes are centered around young women and young men and romantic relationships. And it's one thing to say, like, oh, it's a relatable thing to say, like, this is how you felt when you had your first crush in high school and stuff. But when it's starting to get around, like, the horny topics, it's just like, dude, this makes me uncomfortable. I'm 28 years
old.
It's
a little weird. Like,
I don't want to fucking look at a girl who's supposed to be 15, 16 in her underwear. Like, no. Like,
so that whole scene with we were talking about Demon Slayer, where they literally make these kids, they're fucking kids,
dressed up as prostitutes.
They turn them into prostitutes.
Yeah, so they can infiltrate.
What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
but it's almost weird because it's like playful and like whatever, but then you're just kind of like, wait, as an adult, you're looking at this and this is like, what the fuck? Like,
it's crazy.
They use the comedy as a layer to kind of make it okay.
Yeah,
yeah, which is fucking, you know, I think that happens a lot in anime.
Yeah, it says something definitely about the culture over there, and you know, it's a little different than ours. I'm sure that, you know, it's definitely not to the same level of what we see here in Red Rocket, because you know, some of those are more undertones, and they're not willing to literally just straight up discuss in full detail how they're exploiting a minor the way that Mikey Saber is. It's definitely a different layer, but I just feel like, to your point, it was really hard to watch that.
Yeah And we've seen challenging films before, like we've seen Blue Velvet, which was hard to watch, like the violence against women, and that was you know, it was tough.
Lost Highway was a little crazy too.
Yeah, that's why I think it's worse too. And then, you know, we see Memories of Murder with, you know, little girls getting murdered, you know.
Old boy
was tough. Like, we've seen tough films, but this one, no one's dying, but
it's hard. I didn't like how
it feels real.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's like when you watch Memories of Murder, you're like, I can't relate to the story of a child being murdered like consistently like that, but I could definitely see myself being in like surrounded by people and being like, some of you guys might feel the same way he does, or might be willing to be that, like pedophile.
Right.
You know, there's people in your lives that actually are pedophiles.
Yes, that's.
what are you talking about? Yeah, I don't know about anyone in my life.
I'm sure you don't.
Look, they'd be out of it real quick. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I mentioned this before, but Sean Baker, you know, he loves to use, you know, kind of non-actors in his films, and that adds like a huge level of realism when you're watching this, because it's kind of tiptoeing the line between documentary and just a movie. You know, and I guess I want to know, like, how do you guys feel about this style of filmmaking versus some of the other things that you're used to, like, you know, you know, like The Mummy or.
I think it was extremely refreshing to see this, especially like going back and looking at it. So, it gave a sense of realism, which is refreshing, you know, because we're used to like, oh, we're gonna watch this big action movie, we're gonna watch this rom com, we're gonna watch X, Y, and Z. So, but when you see something that's real and tangible, like it's different.
Yeah, because it looks real and the stories are real too.
Yeah, and like you also are not seeing blockbuster actors out there, you know, so it makes it
I mean, Mikey Saber is a blockbuster actor in his own category. Like, you know?
He won the AVN 2 times in a row.
Four times.
Not Simon Rex, but Saber.
Mikey Saber. Yes, talking on the realism of the film, which is something that we're not really accustomed to based on all the blockbusters that we've seen. I guess I want to know how invigorating this was for you guys.
Well, I mean, I liked, you know, we saw Lexi's character. She's an actual actress, even though she looks like she could be someone that they just picked off the small town or whatever. But we did find out, obviously, the mom, Lily, she was just a complete,
no teeth.
Like, she's about that life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder how you explain that to somebody. Like, hey, we want you to be on the set today.
Would you like money for crack?
That's also that's probably very
all
true.
You need to do. Yeah. Yeah.
But again, it just I feel like it's an uncomfortable conversation probably. For
I don't know, man. When it's money, it's probably pretty easy.
Yeah, bro. You're like, you don't have, guess what you don't got to do today? You ain't got to stand by the edge of the interstate and put a sign up.
Or it's suck great. A dick.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody in the film did not act well.
No, they all fucking like acted their ass off.
I never once felt that, this guy's like not a real actor.
Which is that when you talk about like documentaries versus films, like that's what's interesting to me is like it really, like I really didn't feel that anybody wasn't trained or that anybody didn't have that experience. Like it didn't give me like, you know, TLC fucking shows where it's like real people and shit like that. No,
like when it's like, super fucking scripted.
Yeah. And it's not even just real people. I feel like it's real sets. Like even the house looked very lived in, disgusting. Right, but you know, you imagine a crack house. That's kind of it, right?
It was
there.
Probably that old lady's.
Yeah, it was probably her actual house. Dude.
Or they bought it because it's cheap enough in Texas, and then just gave it to her.
Right, like the walls were died disgusting. Later, so, you know, like how do you? Yeah, you're right. I don't think you make a set like that. I think you just find it and you film in it.
Yeah, you're just. I mean, honestly, you know, funny enough, it'd work exactly like porn is done. You know, where they just rent properties for like Airbnb or through the.
And you don't tell the owners. And well, you just do it.
It's funny though. I don't know. Have you guys been on Airbnbs lately? Where like they have like they have disclosures. They're like, you are not allowed to film like adult stuff on there. Like if you read some of their like people's fine print, like it's happened to them probably enough times where the cleaning lady goes in and she's fucking stuck to the sheets. She's like, I can't fucking free my hand.
It's too dry.
Yeah.
A lot of liquids.
Yeah. A lot of liquids.
Yeah.
Put Nick, a UV light on that.
How do you know this very old?
Because I read the fine print.
He was the cleaning lady.
I was the
He was the one that he made the rules.
He was hired for a job.
Yeah,
he was like, no.
Yeah. It was just like Daddy Daycare, that scene where he walks into the restroom and I was just staring at the ceiling everywhere.
Right. Speaking of Daddy Daycare, I mean, you know, they just like Daddy Daycare, they shot that on film. I think they shot this on film.
Well, they didn't have a permit for that running scene.
Oh, really? They didn't?
They didn't.
Wait, so you're telling me Mikey Saber, a.k.a. Simon Rex, was just out full schlong, no permit, just running around?
I saw it somewhere on the.
Someone got really? That. Someone got that shit for free.
People weren't there.
With the scene or with what we saw?
How does he get away with having a dick like that? That's a good question, George. That's a right
good. There, I think he was running pretty fast with that third leg.
He was actually a porn star, right? Before this,
I think
he did.
All,
First
of all, George, he was an adult star.
Yeah.
Adult
I'm sorry. Is that the
he did
term?
Gay.
I'm sorry.
He
sorry,
did.
Guys.
Like self or yeah, or solo
masturbation
m- yeah solo masturbation self films for a gay sex whatever
it's okay
I forget I you know I don't know enough about that shit
anybody, it's okay
but I want to get back to Mikey Saber just a little bit where you know his motivation like what was his motivation right like he was down on his luck he needed money and because of this want for money he was motivated to fuck up or fuck over anybody and anybody near him.
Well, I think the only people he could fuck over would be probably in Texas, his old family and all that people that he knew.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but like, you know, the industry that he comes from, right? Like they all they are is exploitation in my opinion. Yeah. Like I think that's what it is. Like yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, there are some people that do it out of
the arts.
Right, out of the arts or you know it's their thing, but the majority of it is people exploiting people.
Well, it's interesting because you know you talk about I know you had mentioned earlier the American dream, like the idea of that. When you think about whether it's the adult film industry or other industries, like what situation do you really look at this and say, hey, this is everyone's American dream? Like he is straight up trying to exploit Strawberry,
right.
His American dream involves her not necessarily being successful for her own sake, but being successful so that he can take credit, so that he can take ownership of some of the rights to her films or whatever
or
she goes on to
money.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah, like he just wants money.
Which is why like things like OnlyFans started for people in the adult industry because it was an opportunity for them to get rights to their own self-produced
work. They took ownership of themselves.
Yeah, they're like, you know, there's I actually recently got pushed a notification
OnlyFans?
No. Like
makes sense on the
reel. I guess where was it? I forgot where I got. But there's an adult film actress. Her name is like Ray Lil Black, and
wait,
apparently
you wanna say that again. What's her name again?
Ray Lil Black.
Okay, cool.
And she's a Japanese adult like actress, but she I guess converted. She was on a podcast. That's where it was. She converted to Islam like recently. I think it was like within the last year, and she was talking about how she is still seeing the production companies that she worked with releasing more and more films because they have like I think 10 still banked. And not only is it like facing the fact that in her past she's done something like this, but now she's facing the fact that she can't stop them from doing what contractually they have the right
and
to
do.
And
that's a consequence of this,
yeah,
of this industry too.
Well, like, it you sounds you're right. You, like,
that's the point. Is like, is they tell her, hey, this is your American dream. You're gonna make it big, but what they don't tell her is, at the end of the day, it's not hers. It's the executives. You know. You know, Andre isn't going to make it big necessarily if he's stuck underneath like a small production company. Oh. If he's at the top of the production company,
a big schlong, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If he's got this 6'4" hung dude just whipping schlong on his fucking forehead, shoulder on his forehead every day,
I'm a nice
that
boss.
Dude is
that
dude's got the American dream. Andre, that's the American scheme.
See,
oh,
I think
wow.
I think,
wow.
Yeah, you like that shit.
That was crazy.
Whoa. Trademark.
I think it's so often a reoccurring theme where these girls come out years later and they're like, I regret doing this because I didn't realize how much of an impact it would have on my social life,
well,
my relationships. Yeah, no. I mean,
like
that?
Three films.
Who's that?
Mia Khalifa?
Yeah, I mean, never.
Alexis,
can you guys, can you guys dive deeper into that? I'm not sure who that
can,
Mia Alexis or
can
lost.
You,
George, you started immediately responding to that piece of shit.
I don't know what the fuck
is. Alexis is like, I think the fans won't be able to catch that. We should spell it out for them.
Yeah, you want
to
spell that?
That name, it's a little complex of a name. No, I mean, dude, that's not, she's not even the worst case. There's like porn stars who straight up like have off themselves.
Adult stars.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. So I think that's one of the things that it's unfortunate to see something like this where it's like clearly she's young and naive and she's being exploited by this older guy. He's already, you know, been in the industry, knows all the repercussions and problems, and he doesn't give a fuck. He's ready to ruin her life for his own benefit, like the fucking parasite that he is.
Right.
And it's like, that happens so often, and then years later, they regret it. You know, they no longer can hold a regular relationship.
It's a dark time.
They lose
in their
friends,
life.
Family. It fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
So, you know, I wonder, like, in the movie when George goes back to Strawberry... I'm sorry. When Mikey Sabre goes back to Strawberry at the end, like, what do you think?
I thought that was funny.
The delivery wasn't great.
What do you think? Is he gonna exploit her? Is he still gonna try to exploit her? Or you
no,
think he's walking
George,
away?
I know he did.
Right.
You lost me, buddy.
I didn't lose the crowd.
No.
Getting claps and waves over here, buddy.
Because you know there is a in the Anoraverse.
Yeah.
You know, Strawberry does show up in Anora.
Yeah, in Vegas.
In a billboard.
So are these, is there a connection? Is there a hard connection?
Yeah,
or is
there
just
a hard connection?
The billboard.
Yeah. And I just want to point this out. I think the saddest scene in the film is when Mikey Sabre is seeing her play the piano, singing.
It was devastating.
You see her talents, and he's using her for something.
Yeah.
You know.
He's like, bitch, awful. Stop fucking playing that keyboard. Yeah.
Well, you know what's crazy to me, too, is thinking about the exploitation of it all. Like, how many times do we watch films or like experience our lives where all you get is those, like, those small interactions with Mikey and, in this case, Strawberry, where he's just trying to kind of, you know, bend and, like, twist his words so that it doesn't sound as exploitative. The only reason we know what he really wants is because he's telling, you know, his neighbor. He's monologuing to himself what he wants to do. So we know what a piece of fucking shit he is.
Yeah.
But there's so many times where you're like, you get a job opportunity. They're like, no. We have great benefits and this. And you're going to be part of the team. We're going to be a family.
Nick at Clark?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Damn. We'll probably have to blur that. But anyway.
Bleep that.
Yeah, bleep that. Thank you. But no, like the amount of times that you'll honestly hear shit like that where it's like, oh, that's literally what, like the spiel that Mikey Sabre gives Strawberry the whole time. He's just trying to tell her little by little all these like tiny details of what's going to happen
like,
and what
I'll
fame
only,
gonna...
I'll only do scenes with you. Just
No, yeah, that scene where he's almost forcing her to like make a tape with him and he's just kind of like almost planting a seed in her head because obviously that's what he was going to do anyway, wanting her to get into the industry. But it's just like you see him almost kind of manipulative in a way where it's like, oh no, let's just do it.
He's fucking
just salivating. Because.
He's like,
oh. It's disgusting. And then you see that he's manipulating her and also planting a seed and basically setting himself up so he can ask her like, hey, I want you to join the industry with me.
Right.
You know, and it's gross.
Yeah, it's just sad all around, man. Like, even the fail. I think there's a failure on the part of Strawberry's parents too. Like they're totally absent. You know, like they only had a mom alone.
Right? Yeah,
she only had a mom.
Mentioned
her dad was not in the picture.
Oh,
yeah.
Not in the picture.
She left to go see
with her new boyfriend.
Yeah,
right.
She left the city. That's when he came over. Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, those are definitely tough scenes to watch.
Yeah.
Like when they had that sleepover.
Yeah, then yeah. you see her room and you're like, oh my God, it's all bright pink and like, yeah, it's a little girl's
room. And
you're
like, what the fuck are you doing? That was a really good choice from the director to have a room like be so, like, because it's already getting comfortable enough, but to really drive it home and be like.
It slaps you in the face.
It really does. Yeah. And then just to watch that, like, genuinely, like, Mikey Saber didn't even flinch.
Yeah, no normal person sees that and then thinks to themselves, like, you know, this is normal.
Yeah.
It's like you walk in and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is a child. Like, what the fuck? Disgusting.
And speaking of children, I know they love Letterboxd, so let's go ahead and get into the Letterboxd reviews.
What the fuck was that transition?
All right. This one, they gave it a... This is by Connor Markwell, 4-star.
Out of 5?
Out of 5.
Okay.
They say, set in 2016, what an era for skeezbag, narcissistic con men trying to sell their own sizzle. 2016. Who was president at the time?
Trump.
And who's president now?
Trump.
That's crazy. Nothing changed. 4 stars.
It's
what was the whole point of that?
It's Donald Saber.
Yeah, Donald Saber. This is by Noah.
Is Donald grab your pussy?
Four stars. They say the most beautiful film about the worst person you know who might also be your uncle.
Damn, that's what's crazy is having to come to terms with that. You, like, some people there's have people to like look at around, me like, shit. Yeah. That reminds me of someone.
Yeah. All right, this is by Rob, 3.5 stars. They said, you don't get to 800, almost 900 followers on Pornhub without making a few enemies along the way.
Shit.
3.5 stars. That's Man. True. Mikey Saber. Mikey Saber. All right, last one. This one's kind of a real. This one's a real review. This is by Drew, 4 stars. I never knew that Sean Baker could make 2016 feel so nostalgic. The imagery and representation of an authentic human experience is great. Simon Rex is amazing as Mikey. Really love the scenes when he talks about winning the award for best head. So narcissistic and manipulative to believe that he is the reason for the success he gets. 4 stars. And I think that scene kind of encapsulates who Mikey Saber is.
Yeah, I mean,
that's definitely the movie.
He tries to like explain like why he's the one doing the work, but
I mean, he's self-absorbed narcissist. Yeah. Everything's about him, and everything needs to be about him. That's why he's so comfortable manipulating everyone.
It's hilarious because Kenny literally points that out. She's like, wait. Why are you getting the award if it's like...
Like, everyone's asking.
She's the one doing all the work.
Yeah. That's a common misconception. It's actually like he has to do the framing of her head and stuff. She's focused.
Right.
So he has to do the filmography of it.
Well, yeah. Nick's right.
Yep, think about it.
But now, I want to know your opinions, but I want to know what you guys think about the film without thinking about kind of, you know, I guess the moral implications surrounding, you know, the
idea. I mean,
that
kind of is the film, though, so that's
difficult. But approach it objectively, because I know you guys like to...
All right, so I'll say this. I'll start. I think that people might watch this film misconstrued the narrative that's trying to push.
Yes,
because the reality is, like, someone might look at this and think, hey, this is almost normalizing pedophilia, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're probably not actually watching what's going on and what the director's trying to depict. But because of that, I don't think it's a film that, like, necessarily enjoyed that much. Because, you know, in a certain sense, it kind of feels like that for me. But obviously, I know that he's saying, like, no, this is the reality. This is the real world. This is there's people out there like this fucking douchebag that are actually doing this and exploiting people. And I think that's what he's really trying to push. Like, hey.
It was tiptoeing the lines.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally saying this is reality. Honestly, it shouldn't be the case. I'm portraying this guy like a fucking piece of shit almost to kind of raise awareness on this subject matter. So that I did, you know, kind of like. So overall, I mean, it was a hard fucking watch, to be honest. So I don't think I'd watch this again or recommend it to many people. But I'll give it a
6.5.
Your piece.
Isaac, stop gooning, please.
It was about a bicycle.
Yeah, sure it was.
Yeah, I can show you.
I don't want to. All right, Isaac, objectively. Objectively.
You know, there's a lot to say about this movie, right? And I think my boy George said it all, right?
Right.
It's a hard recommendation to anybody, right?
Right.
Because it's just like, if you recommend this fucking movie, you're like, how the fuck why'd you even watch this
movie?
Right. Like, what are people going to think about you?
Yeah, like, exactly.
If you recommend to watch this film.
Yeah, it's like...
Which is interesting how Andre recommended this one for us to watch.
Just throw Andre under the bus.
Our producer over
here. Andre's like, I loved it. So
no,
relatable.
I originally wanted
great
to see
film.
Hot Fuzz, but, you know, he said Red Rocket.
And you went with it.
Well, you know, Anora, you know, won the most Oscars. I felt like it was important to see a Sean Baker film.
Yeah, I remember you said you had this on repeat, right? You watched it like, you know, a few times back to back. Alexis,
don't let them do this to you, buddy. Don't let them do this to you, buddy.
Especially not
but
him.
But going back to my him out of point, all it's hard. This is not a movie that.
But do you think it delivered on the message? Do you think it delivered on what it wanted to do?
I don't think it delivered it. I don't think it it left it too open-ended at the end.
Oh, you just hate open-ended. I know you hate open-ended endings.
No, I know, but like it just doesn't put this movie in light. Like it
just like Cure, open-ended.
Okay. We're not gonna talk about fucking Cure now, okay?
We did, and you could watch that episode, Cure Season 1.
And
good callback. Yeah,
put that in the comments. Yeah. What episode that was. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard because like if I recommend this to somebody, it's be like, okay, what the fuck are you watching? And if you give this a good rating at the same time, you're like, why the fuck did you give it such a high rating? Right. Like, yes, it has a lot of good points. It makes a lot of good points. And they're very strong points. But it just...
See, but that's the thing. That's my issue is that you're like, you're worried about what other people are going to think. But objectively, as a film, how did it do?
This is still, again, objectively, it made me feel uncomfortable the whole time.
And that was the point.
And originally, we weren't even going to like actually record this because...
Right. You guys were scared about the topics.
It wasn't that we were.
It's a touchy subject. It's hard to kind of really, you know, talk about this without it, you know,
turning into something.
Without like, even as we were even discussing about this, we kind of had to like stop from being repetitive and say hitting the obvious points of this fucking movie. Yeah. So I think, and this is one of the few movies that it's hard just like not to pay attention to the obvious point that the director's
but there's a lot more going on.
There's a lot more going on, and I will give that movie that this, but it's just so hard not to like focus on that type of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all I got to say.
What's your score, buddy?
I would give it a 4 out of 10.
Interesting.
Oh wow. That's one of the lowest he's done.
I don't think that's fair.
Because you're talking about objectively, and I told you objectively, like if I give a good score to movies, like. Watchability, rewatchability, recommendation wise, you can't recommend this movie.
And I wouldn't rewatch this either.
Yeah, like it's hard.
But that's my thing is that by rating a film by how you can recommend it, it's because you're worried about what other people are going to think about it versus what your own opinion is.
My opinion is still fairly much the same, right? Like I'm never going to rewatch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Right,
100%. Like that's like 100%. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody because I'm just like again. Like you have to be like kind of prepared to like emotionally prepared to walk into this movie, like unless you're a guy that read the synopsis beforehand and you still said I'm gonna go watch this movie, that's a whole different thing. This is not a movie you recommend. This is a movie that you stumble upon.
Mm. Yeah, which is actually how we saw the film.
Yeah,
in theaters when it came out, I think 2021.
Because I feel like again, wouldn't you feel kind of weird if some dick recommended this movie to you?
Right.
Yeah, you're like. Yeah, but
But yeah. I straight up, if someone told me like, "Hey, I really love this movie. It's like one of my favorites," I'd be like, "Hey, you're kind of weird. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Yeah. Like, you're a little too excited about this. Yeah, you know, right. It's like
no, I agree. Because like for example, and sorry, I'm not trying to cut into your time.
No, not at all.
But I recently did see a film called Happiness, which was really tough watch. Personally, way tougher to watch than this movie because it dealt with similar subjects. And I think objectively, it's a good film. But I can't recommend that to anybody.
Happiness? That's a weird title for.
I can't recommend it. I can't recommend it to anybody. But it's very like.
What's the subject matter?
Without spoiling it, it's about very 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 damaged people who are trying to look for happiness.
Mm.
And I can't really go into it more just because it's difficult. But to me, I think it's a good film. But yeah, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't give it a score as low as 4. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of movies like that. Like, all right, Old Boy, for example, is very taboo.
Yeah.
It had some heavy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I do think the delivery on the subjects that it's touching on was done really well.
Right.
Therefore, I really enjoy it. This, I see him being humanized too much.
Right.
To the point where it's almost glorifying it a bit. Where I'm like, I don't like the delivery of this subject matter because it's so heavy.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah,
you know.
That's an interesting perspective.
See, I see it as the opposite. I see humanizing them. You know, too many times you think of a villain in a film and they have to have the craziest backstory. They have to be so corrupt. They have to be just the, like, they have to be justifiably like someone who deserves to be beaten, dead, you know, in jail, whatever the hell you think. But making Mikey Saber human points out the fact that, yeah, they exist and they look like that and they act like that and they talk like that. And they might walk next to you. They might be your uncle. They might be someone who you don't know.
Exactly.
Someone you went to high school with.
Someone you went to high school with. It's really, and that's like, you know, I mean, I guess I'll cut into my score right now is I'll give this a 7.5. I'm almost giving it an 8. And because my thing is, you know, Isaac, I think I feel like I finally developed an understanding of how your scoring system is. You are like studios nowadays. Where they're like genuinely, like no, but you know what that is?
The perfect next.
He's like, well, this is a brutal honestly,
because he's an executive, like that. He's thinking like, what is got rewatchability? What can be easily digestible and given to anybody? What versus like I see your point, Alexis. Like, just to drive this home, this movie is meant to make you feel bad.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
movie is not like Grave of the Fireflies. We're just talking about
simple,
that is a hard fucking watch too. You know,
it's an art film.
It is. It's like, you know. I guess maybe this will help for you, Isaac. Is if you look at World War II and you start to look at the history when it comes to the Nazis, Hitler, and stuff like that. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to romanticize Hitler or think, but it's fucking interesting.
Yeah, like Inglourious Basterds does it really well.
Well, not even Inglourious Basterds still kind of like romanticizes. Yeah. I'm talking about literally like there's people who are like, hey, I want to like. When you look at Hitler and what Hitler did in real life and you like dive into it, there's a difference between being like a Nazi apologist or even a Nazi like nowadays and then just someone who's just like...
Or Kanye.
And then there's people who are just straight up like, holy shit, like...
Elon.
This was crazy what happened. Like
how did a person become
How this? Did they become that? And then like what was happening in Germany like, you know, like it, like around that time period, you know? And so it's... It might be hard to digest sometimes. It might be hard to read about or to watch, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's like not interesting, mm-hmm. or that it doesn't deserve to be like looked at, you know, like with a lot of like I guess hindsight in mind for mm-hmm. what it might like induce with people who are watching it. But I understand your point, Isaac, and I'm not trying to shit on it. I think that that's why for me I can give it like a 7.5 mm-hmm. is because I still see that even though I won't be able to watch this again necessarily. Mm-hmm. Having watched it, it made me uncomfortable the way it's set out for it to do.
Yeah, and then while we were watching, I remember you said it was really relatable. So
yeah, I have a friend named George who's so just like Mikey Saber.
Enough, bitch. You already used that.
Yeah, hey, well, you're going to make me do it again. Over and over. You're going to keep asking me.
All jokes aside, I think Nick put it extremely well.
Thank you.
He did. This movie is definitely geared to... I think the 10% of the like the moviegoer population, right? Like,
usually,
like the 10% they can go out there and watch. Like,
it'd be a little weird if the kids were watching his dong, you know?
Yeah. This is again. You have to be. You just have to be that guy. You know?
Right. Well, let's be real. I think nowadays media has changed so much that when you see a challenging film like this, it's. You don't want to look at it. And, you know, there was an era in Hollywood where back in, like, you know, I'd say maybe even the 70s is where it peaked, is where you had a lot of challenging films. You know, like an example, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like, that's a hard film to watch.
Yeah, I remember Drugstore Cowboy. Like, that wasn't necessarily one that did amazing by any means because
80s or 90s.
It was really pushed. It was like people were uncomfortable by that.
And so right now people are so used to blockbuster films, so used to just being able to check out, watch a movie and feel good. That when they see something like this, it's just too fucking real.
Yeah, that's why
you can't accept it.
I mean, you know, I can't help but say that I like Transformers movies, but at the same time, like, I am not lining up to go to the theaters to go see Transformers 7, 8, 9.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Fast and the Furious 10. Yeah.
But it's also like, not a movie you would line up to go see. Like,
no. But the experience is different because you go see Avengers fucking 12 and you walk out of there, you're like, damn, that was cool. But then you see this movie. And you still kind of ponder thoughts. I'm like, you know, that was fucked up. That's there are people like that. You know,
I do agree with that. I think that a lot of modern blockbusters, they tiptoe around a lot of these subject matters, and it's like they want to be so politically correct that they want to appeal to the mass audience, and obviously, they won't even touch certain subject matter, right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, we don't want it to affect our shareholder value for our studios
when we think about
bullshit like that.
When we think about a movie like the new Captain America, right, where most of us, we all had the exact same opinion of it, like. It was a little wishy-washy, you know. It was like it wasn't enough of anything to make it really good. It was just kind of like moving the needle on kind of making things canon in the universe and tying together some movies. But we gave that a decent enough score,
right? Like, what?
Why would that be a 5 or 6?
Nothing.
I think I will say this. I think if the director would have said she was 18 from the get-go, I think this movie would have been a lot more digestible.
I don't think it'd be as relatable. I feel like people might, but maybe, you know what? Well, it'd be different.
Yeah, it wouldn't make Mikey look as bad. Yeah. And the point is to make him look bad.
No, 100%, but I'm just saying it's a more digestible film. Like, it's still pretty bad because she just turned 18.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because she's still basically 17.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mentality-wise, yeah, right? But I'm just saying, in front, if you told, like, oh, fucking, she's 18, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more digestible compared to, like, she was...
Yeah. Like, see, but, you know, it's just like paintings. Yeah. You know, every painting is going to give you a different, you know, emotional reaction. Yeah. And so a film should be able to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
But when you, again, when you mess with films and you turn them into blockbusters, people don't see them as real art.
Yeah.
And that's a huge issue. And to me, this is tough, but this is an art film.
Yeah. I think movies like this are very important. They should exist, but it doesn't make the subject matter any less egregious. Exactly. You still look at it and you're like, fuck.
But it's a way to discuss it without, you know, being directly involved.
It's
with
very
it.
Important because it does shed to light a lot of these social issues that are very rampant and apparent and aren't being addressed a lot of the
when
time.
When you talk to someone who says something along the lines of like, well, what, give me a movie you recommend. Like, what do you think I should watch? This movie shouldn't come up.
Right.
No, but when you find someone that has issues with understanding things around like consent, issues around like power dynamics with men and women and in businesses in general, like about abuse in general. Like,
this is why George made
this. This is a movie that you'd be like, hey man, like maybe you don't understand.
I don't like my name being tossed around like this. Okay?
Hey, you asked
first
for it from me.
I think all pedophiles should be buried under the fucking prison. Kill your local pedophile. Yeah. Love that.
Right.
Do that thing.
Full disclaimer. Look at him trying to white knight this shit. Look
there
at this.
There you go, George.
Hey, full disclaimer. Put this in the beginning of the video. we don't support any actions that Mikey Saver performed in this movie.
But what I'm saying, though, is this is like one of those movies that you absolutely, like, I could see shown at a college film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, class. Like a film class. You know what I mean? Like, at colleges to show.
This is a movie that you have a conversation with intellectuals and people that you like. You know what? They're not just gonna be like, "Oh, this is about pedophilia immediately right away." Yeah. Even though that is like
honestly, young adults, like adults who just came past 18, 19, you know, early 20s, like them watching it could be very beneficial to some extent of understanding, like, hey, this is what men can do to you or women, honestly. Women, this is just adults take advantage of children
all
the time.
You know what's crazy? It's
if you're a senior high school or a freshman in college, I think this is a good movie to watch.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You know what's crazy? Obviously, we all had really good upbringings in our parents. These are things that are like, you know, it's unspoken rules. It's like, you don't do that shit. But for people that didn't grow up with parents or parental figures, like, for example, candy, maybe this could be a good way to, strawberry, you know, just like bring in that subject matter and show them like, yo, this shit outlandish.
And
crazy,
you mentioned
wrong.
It earlier, George, it's just, again, about there's so many people who genuinely have zero experience with this type of thing and end up becoming like almost apologists for this and be like, no, this doesn't happen in real life. Like, that's why you have movies like Drugstore Cowboy to show people like how much drugs can actually lead you to the path.
Requiem of Dream. Like the small town girl that lived somewhere in a Texas prairie that like the likelihood of her seeing something like this is very slim.
Yeah.
Compared to like the inner city girls that like, you know, there's a ton of people that get over sexualized.
Yes.
A lot of the time.
I could 100% see this happening to someone that doesn't know any better. Someone from an LA comes in and is like, I'll make you a fucking star. This is all you got to do.
Absolutely.
And like,
to Mikey Saber's credit, he had a little bit of credibility because you know what? You can find him on Pornhub with 900 followers. So.
There you go.
He's over there fucking going to a fake mansion and then he's like a superstar doing all this shitty shit.
Know the difference, dude. Like,
That's what's crazy.
But, you know, I'm just going to wrap it up, but with Nick, I'll also give this film a 7.5 just because of its merit as a film and what it can, you know, show, because a lot of the behavior that we saw was subtle.
Yeah.
And as an adult, we know, but, you know, children, younger adults, they wouldn't. And so something like this can help, you know.
It's the subtle shit that always gets them. It's not
exactly.
It's
subtle. It's malicious, but you got to be smart to figure it out.
And it's going
to
eat you up over time. Yeah. So it's just.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, sorry to. Go ahead. Like, last thing I wanted to put, because, you know, you have your movies like No Country for Old Men, where they do almost too good of a job of portraying like what someone who's a psychopath is, you know? And then you have movies like this where they're like, no, I'm not gonna like romanticize it, make it outlandish, make it crazy. I'm going to give you exactly what your neighborhood like child molester, pedophile, or just kind of corrupt person would look like. You know, it doesn't always have to be necessary. We don't have to necessarily talk about people who are corrupting minors. It could just be people who are abusing their spouses. It could be people who are doing just negative manipulative things. They look like normal people, you know. They act and talk like it. And that's what's good about this film is it doesn't make you an Anton who is like the most...
Anton Sugar?
Yeah, who's like the craziest example of what a serial killer murderer would look like. Where no one in real life is going to ever look like Anton. This is in fact giving you.
Wasn't there a study that showed that he's the most realistic depiction of a sociopath?
It's just like the scary how real like his thought process is and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm just saying like obviously like
Lord Farquaad, dude.
Exactly, the Lord Farquaad of it all. The the coin flip like tendencies, like almost like ADHD autism stuff. Like that's not necessarily every.
It's over dramatized for sure,
but yeah.
No, I kind of you know what you changed my mind on that. Obviously, them humanizing it. Kind of, it makes me uncomfortable, but it is a factor, like you said, that is important because it's obviously like these are real people that are actually doing this shit. This is not a fictional narrative where it's like, oh, this never happens in real life. The fact that it so easily could be, like you said, anyone.
Yeah. It's like serial killers, man. Yeah. Yeah, serial killers are like, they run literally games and shit.
I think that's what makes it more uncomfortable, you know, thinking it about it that way. Yeah. So, fuck.
But. Yeah, so, you know, on average, we'll give it a 6.4. I think Isaac really skewed us down there, but that's okay because we're being honest about it. But, you know, I'm really glad that after all these films that we've watched together, you know, you guys were able to digest this very challenging film. And so I'm definitely going to not recommend more films to watch like this, but I do want to at least challenge, you know, what
a challenge the every idea. Once in a while is
yeah, yeah, every yeah. once in a while. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'm glad that we dive into some of these deep cuts where it's like, sometimes we hate them, sometimes they actually
are a hit. We're not supposed to love all movies, but they're here. But anyways, please tune in for our next episode, and we hope that you guys like this one. And this is Four Guys,
One Film. We love you guys.